In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is among us. Did you notice anything different in our church today? This is different, right?
Yeah.
What do we have here? Lenny, what do you think? What do we have here? Anna? But what do you think is the most important? Not this stand. Yeah, we have a stand. But what's the most important thing?
The cross.
Do you have any idea why I brought the cross out of the holy altar today and placed it here in the middle of the church? Why today? Louder? It's a good answer, and I want everybody to hear it. Say it louder. Because it is Sunday of the cross. Very good, Natalia, because it is the Sunday of the cross. It is middle of Great Lent, and it's the Sunday, the Sunday of the cross. Now, the cross, that cross was in the holy altar, on the holy altar table. That's where we keep it all year long, right? I told you last night, some of you were here last night for our mini retreat when we talked about the worship space. Do you remember from last night or from my previous sermons what the holy altar stands for? Why do we face east when we pray? Do you remember why we face east? And why the holy altar is placed in the east in the church?
Do you remember? Is that something to do with Jerusalem?
No. Good guess, but no.
I wasn't there last time.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Because Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew that his second coming will be like a lightning from east to west. And where was the Garden of Eden, paradise, planted?
Near Jerusalem.
In the east. That's what the Bible says. That the Garden of Eden was planted in the east. Because east is what happens in the east every morning?
The sun rises.
The sun rises. So, the Garden of Eden was planted in the east because that's where the light comes from. To tell us, you know, that the light comes from God. That's why the holy altar is placed in the east in the Orthodox Church, because it stands for paradise. And what did we have in the middle of paradise? You remember? We had two trees in the middle of paradise.
The trees of good and evil.
The tree of knowledge of good and evil, okay? And there is also another tree. You know, we are so focused on that tree of knowledge of good and evil because Adam and Eve ate from that tree, and they were not supposed to eat from that tree yet, okay? But there was also another tree. In the Bible says that there was another tree in the middle of the garden. You remember what tree? The tree of life. The tree of life. The tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life were in the middle of paradise. And God told Adam and Eve not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And what did they do?
They ate.
You're not very good. They didn't listen. And then what did God have to do? So what did God have to do? He punished them? It was a way of saying it, but what God had to do, he had to put them outside of paradise. And the Bible tells us why God had to do this. He didn't want to do it, but he had to do it. Like, you know, like your parents sometimes, you know, they don't want to punish you, but they have to do something because otherwise you're going to do something even worse. Because obviously, sometimes we're not listening. That's what also Adam and Eve did. They didn't listen. So God had to put them outside of paradise. Why?
Because he was afraid
they would do something worse. They would hurt themselves even more. The Bible says that God put Adam and Eve outside of paradise because He didn't want them to eat now from the tree of life. What do you think? Why? What do you think? Why God didn't want Adam and Eve to eat now from the tree of life after eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Why? What happened after they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil? They saw what? First of all, that they were how? Naked. Uh-oh. This is not good. Before that, they didn't even notice because they were clothed in the grace of God. Okay? What else happened after they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil? In fact, you know, all of those things that God tells them are not punishments. Okay? You copy? Those were not punishments. God just told them what happened to them now because they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil and they didn't stay in communion with God. Did it happen to you that, you know, let's say, you know, somebody ate something that he or she was not supposed to eat. Let's say, can you give me an example of something that you are not supposed to eat?
Sneak like McDonald's.
Okay, to eat McDonald's every day. Let's not say only McDonald's because we don't want, you know, to be accused. Let's say, you know, bad, okay, highly processed food, okay? Let's say highly processed food. What happens to us if we eat highly processed food and we drink only soft drinks, you know, and, you know, and we do that, you know, for a couple of years? What's going to happen to us?
They're going to get, you know, bigger skin.
You're going to get sick, basically, yeah? And then you go to the doctor, and the doctor tells you, wow, look what you did to yourself. I have to be honest with you. From now on, I mean, your liver doesn't look very good, and your stomach doesn't look very good, and your kidneys are you know, affected, and you gain a lot of weight. Your life from now on is going to be like this, and like this, and like this, and probably you're not going to live very long, so, That's what God did to Adam and Eve. He told them, wow, what did you do? From now on, your life is going to be miserable. You're going to get sick, eventually you're going to die, you, Eve, are going to give birth in pain. The earth, the whole creation is going to work against you because you broke your relationship with me. You wanted to be smart on your own. I'm sorry, look what you did to yourself. Your life is going to be miserable from now on. Now in that situation, do you think that it would have been wise for God to let Adam and Eve now to eat from the tree of life and to live forever in this miserable situation?
No.
Have you ever been sick? Yeah. Have you ever been sick?
Yep.
Yeah.
Is it fun to be sick?
No.
Now just imagine when you are having a really bad cold and your nose is running and you're coughing and you're hardly moving through the house, you know, somebody comes to you and tells you, eat this fruit and you're going to live forever. What do you mean? I don't want to live forever like this. That's what would have happened to Adam and Eve. They would have lived forever with their sicknesses, with their pains, with their terrible condition. Okay? So that's why God said, I have to put you outside of paradise. And He put them outside of paradise. But He didn't forget about us. And do you think that He gave us the tree of life in the end?
Yep.
When? When did He bring the tree of life from paradise and He gave it to the world?
When you were born?
No.
When He died
on the cross. That's when He brought the tree of life from paradise and He planted it in the middle of the world. We live forever. We do live forever. That's a very good question, Sophia. Why don't we live forever now if Christ came and gave us the tree of life. That's why we bring the cross out of the holy altar today on the Sunday of the cross, and we place it in the middle of the church, in the middle of the world, because through the cross, Christ gave life to the world. Because life is not only biological life. In today's gospel, the Lord tells us that what profits a man if he gains the whole world, but he loses his life. He came to give us real life. He didn't come to give us, only physical life, okay? To breathe forever. But to give us the fullness of life and eternal life. To give us joy. To give us joy in this life and to give us joy forever. He came, first of all, to become one with us and to live with us, to be like us. And then, because he died as we die and he resurrected from the dead, he destroyed the power of death. And when we die, he says that, those who believe in him, even if they die, they will live forever because we are one with him. Okay? So when we die, only the body goes into the ground. Our heart, our spirit is with him. And at his second coming, he'll resurrect the bodies and unite them with the souls and will be forever with him. Okay? I know maybe you'd have liked, to live forever also with your body, right? Yeah. That will come too. That will come. But it is, it is, once again, I think it is also because of the fact that we have to trust in him.
Why does he resurrect people with their dead bodies when he comes the second time?
Why does he resurrect the people?
Yeah.
Because he wants to give life to the body and to the spirit forever. Okay? He wants to reunify the body with the spirit as they were supposed to be.
After that, will he die again, or will he stay alive? After he comes to the second coming to resurrect everybody, will he stay alive?
We'll live forever. We'll live forever then, with the body and with the soul, but with the resurrected body. Because, that's another thing. We'll live with a body that won't get sick anymore and that won't die anymore. The body, after the resurrection, won't get sick and won't die anymore. Because it is a new body. A lot of theology today. Thank you very much. Do you have any other questions?
I'm excited for the thing.
Thank you for saying that. Sophia said, I'm excited about, the second coming of Christ. That's why we end the creed with, I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. That's what we look for. We are excited about it. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. That's why, by the way, going back to facing east, that's why when we pray, we face east, waiting anxiously for the second coming of the Lord from the east, to see him and to become one with him forever. Amen. Thank you very much. Beloved faithful, I think that's enough for today also for you.